breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wednesday show. We used to call it Hump Day. I just say it's Wednesday. Of course, we are on Jordan Love Watch. Just kidding. Aaron Rodgers scheduled to appear on the Pat McAfee show today, later today. I actually had so much fun with this story. You know, there's this, this is like a classic Wisconsin reaction, right? We know that half the population hates him, half the population loves him. But just like awkward political stories like January 6th or election denier conspiracy theories, this is another one. I don't want you to talk about Aaron Rodgers. Nobody cares about that. Really? Nobody cares about a four-time MVP who was the starting quarterback of your most favorite football team in the state of Wisconsin? Please. Awkward conversations, difficult conversations, are sometimes very valuable. You learn a lot about people. So I'm not going to spend much time on Aaron Rodgers, maybe a few minutes. Let's not pretend these things don't matter. Just to baseline some of the things I just mentioned, yes, January 6th was a riot, insurrection, yes. To call it anything else is to be a conspiracy theorist, really. Election wasn't stolen. And Aaron Rodgers may or may not come back to the Packers. We don't know yet. We have no idea. No flipping idea. I anticipate that when he shows up on the Pat McAfee show later this morning, early afternoon, I think it's at 12:10 or something like that. And kudos to McAfee for getting him on again. I mean, in the midst of all this craziness, this wish list stuff where Favre misspoke there. Oof. Slip. Rodgers trying to pick his teammates on his potentially new team. Yeah, so what? He wants to be comfortable. The Jets do it? Well, then I guess they listen to Rodgers. I don't think it's unlike what some other players have done. I would argue that if you're talking about Tom Brady, the caliber of players is much higher. Gronk and some other receivers that tagged along on his journey to Tampa Bay. But set all that aside. Let's not pretend this story doesn't matter. Let's not pretend the Packers aren't, even in the offseason, the biggest sports story in Wisconsin. I know the Bucs are fantastic, clinched a playoff spot last night, 50th win, outstanding win in Phoenix. Yes, the Suns are crybabies, we all know that. They're too physical! Yeah. Stop hammering our best player, and you won't get all the foul calls. So I expect Aaron Rodgers to speak about something this afternoon. So I had some fun with it on Twitter last night or early this morning. I was up at 5 o'clock this morning, ready to go. I could have done the show at 5:30. Ready to go here at GKB, the Avenue Studios. But we had to let Eric and Vince do their show, which was very good. I heard some of it. So I was tweeting out a bunch of stuff last night, just having some fun with the story. Here's one of them. He's scheduled to be on the Pat McAfee show today. Trade rumors, of course, swirling around him and the Packers and the Jets. What do you think he'll say? It's up on Twitter. You can answer on the old National Bank talk and text line if you'd like to as well. Not much, 41%. We'll chastise the media. I can guarantee that'll happen. About 40%. Some version or new version of RELAX, as Vince had some fun with in the transition there. About 16%. Probably all of that. Not much about the trade, because what can he say? He definitely will scold the media. They don't know what I'm going to do. Well, here's an interesting thought for Aaron Rodgers, and you won't find a bigger Aaron Rodgers fan than me. Why don't you just tell us? And the other thought that I had about this, because somebody tweaked me on a text this morning when they saw some of my polls, some of my tweets. How awkward is this if he comes back to the Packers? How awkward and weird is that going to be? The answer is very. That's just weird, 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 crazy, crazy, crazy in a lot of different ways. And I've said and I said at the beginning of the show, he's already at 50-50. You would ask that question in 2011, it's like 90-10, with the 10 being complete knuckleheads and idiots, as far as favorability of QB12. Well, it's not that anymore. And I've said over and over again, I think he's going to be traded, whether it's the Jets. There are not many teams left. Because these things move quickly. Life moves pretty fast, to use a line from Ferris Bueller. And I think on this one, Rodgers is all but essentially gone. So I'm not going to spend any more time than that. If you have a thought, though, you can certainly weigh in. 855-616-1620. We're going to move to something I've talked about before, a serious topic. Not that the Rodgers thing isn't serious. If you're a football fan, it's very serious. And it has to do with a Republican bill in Wisconsin that would require schools, high schools specifically, in Wisconsin, who are experiencing serious crime in their schools, to hire school resource officer or officers. I'll tell you right out of the gates, and this is no surprise to anybody, I'm a huge fan of this. I have complained, I have talked, we've talked about discipline in schools for a long time. There's been a wink, wink, nod, nod, look the other way attitude towards violence, behavioral issues, bullying that has gone on for too long in this state and probably every state. That has to stop. We'll have that conversation. Discipline in schools after this on WTMJ. Love Train. We're going to all be on that Love Train pretty soon. Jordan Love, starting quarterback, Green Bay Packers 2023 season. How exciting is that? How can you not love someone whose last name is literally Love? There's so many advertising opportunities with that last name, too. Bring it up a little bit. I'm in a celebratory mood today. I know no one else is, but I am. Yeah, bring it up. Enjoy it. It's good, though. Thanks for brightening my mood. Producer Brandon back in the saddle today. Feeling better. Love to hear that. Bringing it with some Love Train music on this Wednesday edition right here on WTMJ. Broadcasting live from the Avenue Studios, beautiful downtown Milwaukee. 855-616-1620. I do that because the bosses hate when I play music. So I play more music. That's what you got to do. You got to tweak them a bit. You got to nudge them. Who hasn't nudged their boss? All right. A hard pivot, probably the hardest of pivots you can make. Serious topic. And I got a lot of Rodgers texts. We'll leave them for now. If something breaks, we'll certainly dive right back in. That is as I said, it's a big story. Whether you bury your head in the sand or not, it's a big story. We'll cover it. All right. So I saw this last night. Story, Molly Beck, outstanding reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Doesn't get said enough. Outstanding reporter from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. If you don't subscribe to the Journal Sentinel, you should. You can do it a bunch of ways. A couple days a week, all week. Online, which is what I do. Very affordable. So the headline is this. Police officers would be required in schools experiencing crimes under a Republican bill passed Tuesday. Can I just say I love the idea? I know that there's already people bashing the idea. I love the idea. Why does Steve say that on this Wednesday? Why does he love the idea? Let me answer, since I'm Steve. Because I've been hammering this issue forever. When the people tasked with maintaining discipline in schools, whether that's behavioral stuff, actual crimes, violence perpetuated in the hallways and classrooms and on campuses of high schools in the state, then it's a requirement of the job duty of our legislators to say, you know what? Not good enough. I posted something this morning about this. And somebody says, well, why should they get involved? This is a school district decision. If you know something is happening in a school district, that's counterproductive to education, that's getting in the way, a roadblock to kids learning the basic stuff. No, not all the extra classes that we piled in into these curriculums to try to, I don't know, be diverse. Just the basic stuff. Little math, little science, little reading. Get them that high school diploma. If you can handle that while maintaining discipline, you've accomplished everything I need from an educator in high school and an administration. That's it. You've done your job. For the kids who can handle it, you've given them extra things they can take. Extra rewards for being diligent students, paying attention, not creating behavioral nightmare situations where the school basically throws up their hands and says, we can't do anything about it. Have to have them all in school. I've had long conversations with school board members of various districts. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. We have to teach those kids. Would you rather we threw them out? Well, if they're violent, yes, I would rather you throw them out. Absolutely. Now, if you listen to the show, you know I've advocated for an alternate path for those kinds of kids. And a vast simplification, it's basically a work camp. You're going to work 8 hours a day. You're going to learn a trade, skill, a work ethic. That's your reward for being disruptive. Enjoy it. Maybe it'll work out for you, maybe it won't. But we're not going to let you continue to disrupt our classrooms. Back to the story. Assembly lawmakers, led by Robin Voss, of course, passed legislation yesterday requiring police officers to be stationed in public schools which have high numbers of reported crimes. What am I talking about? Of course, homicide. Sexual assault, burglary, robbery, theft, battery, possession, or use of illegal drugs, firearm possession, disorderly conduct. Am I the only one that says, of course they should be in there? And the other part that no one ever talks about. When you're talking about schools, hardening the security for, God forbid, another school mass shooting, which is a real problem, not a fake problem, not a definition problem, which some people like to say, but a real problem, kids being killed in schools. Nothing is an easier deterrent than having a police car parked in front of the school, in front of the school, with a school resource officer armed in the school. Agree or disagree? 855-616-1620. I think it's a no-brainer. Now, I would imagine this will not be law. We have a Democratic governor, Tony Evers, who does not believe in this, I believe. Now, I could be proven wrong, and I welcome his administration or the governor to come on and tell me otherwise. The bill authors, before I go to break here, Representative Nick Rettinger, I believe is a brand new member of the Assembly from Maguanago area, Cindy Ducal of the town of Delafield. Here's their quote. Students, especially in light of the struggles experienced through virtual learning, should always have a school environment that encourages educational development, allowing them to flourish. To that I say, absolutely yes. What do you think? 855-616-1620. The question of discipline, school resource officers, and getting control back in the classrooms of this state and America. I say, sign me up. Let's hire those people. You want to put your money where your mouth is, hire school resource officers. Find a way that makes sense. You got to pay for them. Not easy, especially in the budgets we have now. But I say yes. What say you after this? We are talking about a new proposal. Well, bill passed in the Assembly yesterday. Still not law, so it's not there yet. And eventually it might be. It says, you know what? If you have violence in your schools, we're going to require you to have a school resource officer in the building. As you know, post-George Floyd, a lot of school districts, not a lot, some got rid of the school resource officer in what I think is a mistaken belief that somehow that facilitates mistrust or threatens kids. I completely disagree. You know who threatens? Criminals. Kids who are not behaving. Dave starts us off from Milwaukee. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. My belief is teachers need to teach. The rest of the kids in the classroom, it's not fair for them not to be able to learn. And the whole idea is, if you have a school resource officer, it's a deterrent. Not something you're looking for problems, but you want to deter those problems by letting the government, letting the police, letting these people build trust with the community by working with them rather than making them feel or vilified. These police officers bust their butts every day. The teachers bust their butts every day to try to help these same kids get the education they need to succeed. Why would you say no unless you're against it because you want to keep the problem going?
Yeah,
so
I completely. Yeah, I completely. Thanks for the call, Dave. I completely agree with what Dave said. There's a line in the sand for me, and we're going to continue this conversation around the news at the bottom here. So if you're on the line, stay. I got a ton of calls on this and a lot of texts because people are passionate about this. I talk to a lot of parents. I get a lot of emails from parents that say, you know what? I don't like what's going on. My kid doesn't feel safe. He's being bullied. He's being threatened. He's being punched. And this desire to keep all the kids in school, even the disruptors, the violent kids, the ones that threaten teachers. Believe it or not, at this moment, in school districts across the state, there are students who have threatened teachers with violence and are still allowed to go to school. Discipline in schools, a new assembly bill passed yesterday, says, you know what? If you have a history of crime or violence in your school, we're going to require you to hire school resource officers. I say yes. Now, the history here, of course, 2020, if you're talking about MPS, Milwaukee Public Schools, after the George Floyd incidents, a group called Leaders Igniting Transformation, LIT, organized and actually worked to get the contract with Milwaukee Police Department and those officers out of schools. So that's something I didn't support then. I don't support it now. I think there are other ways to look at that. I know that everybody doesn't agree with me, and Sarah from Milwaukee joins us. Hi, Sarah.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Steve.
Sure.
I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
The points that I wanted to make were, it may be certainly the case that police may have to get involved in some incidents of really extreme behavior or violence in the school, but I think we've got a bit of a false choice here. I don't think our choices are only put police officers in schools or have unsafe and disruptive schools. I think one of the serious issues that we haven't addressed is the fact that administrators are incentivized not to suspend and not to permit children to be expelled from their schools when they have a history of disruptive behavior. So that's point one. Hey, how is that working in schools? Do teachers and administrators feel empowered to deal directly with bad behavior before it escalates into serious violence? And I don't think they are right now. The second point I wanted to make was, we all hope that police officers will always do the right thing, and I think the vast majority of them do most of the time. But I'm concerned about when simply bad behavior by teenagers now becomes criminalized when it really isn't criminal behavior. So those things on the margins are a bit concerning to me.
Yeah, thanks
a lot, Steve, for taking the call.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. Thanks for taking the time to call. Look, those are fair points, but on the second one, right? So we're talking about decisions. Just like I talked about drawing a line before, there's a line between just being kind of a bad actor, kid goofing around, and when it gets violent. There can't be gray there, in my opinion. So when you cross that line, when it's less disruptive and more violent, especially, I've talked to enough teachers who have been threatened in their classrooms. Their lives threatened. Paraphrasing, I will kill you. I will hurt you. Actual things that happen with teachers in the state of Wisconsin. That's a line that, I'm sorry, you can't cross. That's going to require a school district saying, you know what, you can't be in our school district anymore. Now, I understand just saying that raises the eyebrows of educators, I should say administrators, not educators, administrators in Wisconsin. Because they have been told to be tolerant of these disruptors, to keep kids in school. Because, dirty little secret, more kids in school means more money for the school district. That's one side of it. It's not the only thing, but it's one side of it. And the argument that's generally made to me by school board members and administrators, including district superintendents occasionally, our goal is to educate and keep kids in school. My argument has always been, if you just blanket say we're not kicking kids out of school, we won't suspend kids, you're asking for trouble. Now, there's another piece of this I want to address because it was mentioned in the story by in the Journal Sentinel. And I was referencing the piece written by Molly Beck, published it yesterday. We want to be exact, 5.09 p.m. on the Journal Sentinel site. And that has to do with students with disabilities. There has been for a long time a lack of desire to, I don't want to use the word punish, but to treat those individuals the same way as you treat other kids. I'm trying to be sensitive because life for parents with a child with disabilities or challenges is never easy. Trust me on that. I know plenty of parents who've had to deal with that. It is not easy. But I have heard stories from people I trust that have said in many school districts around this area and around the state, there's a different set of rules. Violence, in some cases, is excused. I don't think there should be a different set of rules. I actually think that's not productive and not efficient. And again, the last thing I would want to do is be more restrictive with children who are dealing with those challenges. Trust me, just from life experiences. They need our help. Tough challenges for parents. But that doesn't mean that any behavior is just waved off as we can't do anything. That's not a good thing. It makes us more dangerous. Lobbyists for Disability Rights Wisconsin said in a statement opposing the bill that the proposal could disproportionately affect students with disabilities who represent more than 34% of school referrals to law enforcement despite accounting for 14% of the state's student population. That's directly to what I'm talking about. Do we think that someone's just making up these things? Of course not. And maybe it touches a little bit on what the last caller said about where that line is, disruptive versus violent, aggressive behavior, perhaps. And we can always be more aware of the challenges of a student with disabilities. We can all be better at it. Teachers, the general public, administrators, everybody, including their peers in these schools. But we have to start talking about this stuff. The bottom line for any student is they should be able to go to school, in this case, high schools, and not be worried about getting beaten up, bullied, or treated in a violent manner by any student or anybody in that building. And if the way we can maintain that is to have somebody in that building who is willing to take the next step, because I can tell you right now, teachers are not going to get involved. They don't want to get sued. They don't want to get punched, which has happened. Why would they? The risk is too high for them. Not to be the old guy on the radio, but there was a time when this stuff didn't happen. There's a famous saying that a little fear is a good thing. When students wouldn't dare get in the face of a teacher, wouldn't dare strike a teacher, because the penalties were swift and immediate. You'd be probably thrown up against a locker, and then the next thing would happen, you'd be put in a room by yourself for the rest of the day. As far as I know, that's not happening anymore. If that's tough love, so be it. What do you think? 855-616-1620. These are difficult problems, not easily solved. But I at least admire the Republican legislators in the state of Wisconsin who said, you know what, enough is enough. You have shunned, in some districts, the ability of law enforcement to be a part of the solution. Not just in their handling of these individual cases, but in the relationship piece, which is so fundamentally missing in this country, marred by extreme cases where police have acted out for whatever reason, sometimes racist, sometimes whatever, poor training, destroying the credibility of the vast members of law enforcement, public safety community, who absolutely care about the people they serve and protect. It's time we get some of this stuff back to what I say is normal. What do you think after this? Discussing school violence, new initiative by the Assembly in the state of Wisconsin. Probably happening across the country, wherever you are, if you're a long-distance listener, about dealing with violence in schools, disruptive students who take it to the next level, striking teachers, threatening teachers, members of the staff. Now, just quickly, because I got a couple, I'll get Mike and Jose on the Old National Bank talking text line on in a second here on the phone. A lot of people saying, well, there's individual education programs, IEPs in Wisconsin, that dictate kind of the what has to happen. That's all well and good, and that's usually with a team of people, right? The family of the student, they kind of figure out the educational path for someone who has disabilities or challenges in a school environment. That's fantastic. But if that means that that student is then allowed to do whatever they want in school with no accountability, I have a problem with it. And when that do whatever you want attitude gets to the point where violence happens, I'm sorry. That's a line I can't take out my eraser and get rid of. That's dangerous, disruptive, and impacts the education of all students. Everybody has a right to an education, but everyone also has a responsibility to follow the rules. Whatever their challenges are, whatever their restrictions are, whatever whoever they are, you have to follow the rules. Mike joins us. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Steve. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. What do you think?
I agree 100%. The only problem that I have is that I would prefer resource officers not to be armed, but that might be necessary in certain cases. You know, and there's a difference between disabilities, like physical disabilities, and I guess that person that called before was referring to emotional disabilities as well, I'm guessing. But the bottom line is that every kid, like you said, has a right to an education, and every kid and teacher has a right to feel safe. You know, I don't know about in Wisconsin, but the majority of our property taxes goes to the schools, and we have a right to expect that those schools are good, are safe, and, you know, I hate to always say, like, oh, when I was in school, because when I was in school, I heard my parents say that and other adults say that. But we didn't have resource officers, but we had what they called hall monitors.
Yes.
And guess what? They were wrestling coaches. They were the football coaches.
Right.
And, you know, for the most part, nobody messed with them. And I was not only afraid to get in trouble at school, I was afraid to get in trouble at home, too. And maybe some of these kids don't have that fear, but it's just they may need to be physically restrained in certain cases, and I don't have a problem with that. Bottom line is, I think anything like, you know, any threats, immediately expelled. And what happens with them after that, you know, the state will decide and the district will decide. But you cannot make verbal threats, and certainly physical harm to other people just cannot be tolerated.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. I'm going to get Jose in here quick because we're running out of time before the break. Welcome to the show, Jose, calling from Milwaukee. What do you think?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good.
I just believe that kids nowadays, there's no discipline, there's no respect, and all this starts in the household, and we can't demand our teachers to be doing the job of restraining or you know, I mean, kids are getting out of hand now, and parents need to be punished for their kids getting out of hand in schools.
Thanks for the call, Jose. At the very least, they got to be involved. And if their attitude is their kid struck somebody and they want to defend their kid, it requires some courage from the administration saying, you know what, your kid did something wrong here. How are you going to address that? Look, I want every kid to get an education. I understand how hard it is. I'm married to a teacher for a long time. Worked in a high school. Many years. Her life was threatened. She was threatened with violence. And she still showed up and did her job every day. I'm not in the business of allowing people to be disruptive. And I love Mike's analogy because we had hall monitors. And you didn't dare step out of line in a school situation. There was repercussions if you did. So nobody did. Look, the bottom line is this. If someone doesn't address this, the Wisconsin Assembly is trying to do that, led by Speaker Robin Voss, the problem is going to continue. And that is a recipe for even more school districts not educating their kids. And I'll go back to what I said earlier, about a half hour ago. When you send your child to school, as a parent, there should be an expectation. Two things, really. They will be educated with the basics that they need to get a high school diploma. What happens after that is them and you. But they should also feel safe in the environment. They shouldn't be bullied. They shouldn't be struck or yelled at or screamed at. And if a school resource officer, a requirement in the districts that are having issues related to violence activity from students, I'm sorry. That's always going to be a yes for me. Are we brave enough to actually stand up and do something about it? At this point, I don't know. If you didn't get a chance to jump in on the Old National Bank talk and text line, phone or text, my show poll is up on Twitter, 620WTMJ or WTMJ Steve. With the new GOP bill in Wisconsin requiring high schools with high incidence of crime to hire an armed school resource officer, what do you think of the idea? Not surprised. Love it, overdue, 60%. Already 200 votes. Who pays for it? 30%. No schools are safe? 4%. What does that tell you? It tells me a lot of parents wondering where the discipline is, where the corrective behavior, where the police are, especially when we're talking about school resource officers, or if you don't have them, why you're not calling the police. Because one of the dirty little secrets that some people shared with me in email is there's a bit of a wink, wink, nod, nod going that, oh, if we don't call the police, it won't be reported and it won't be on the student's record when they broke the law. That's never okay. So thanks to all the folks who weighed in. We're gonna shift gears in the 10 o'clock hour. No, not Aaron Rodgers, although a lot of people focused on that, his appearance this afternoon. I got a basic question that I'm going to tee up in the 12 o'clock hour. I'm going to read it, and then you can think about it during the news break. Will Donald Trump kill the Republican Party? But the second one is really the more important part. Do you want him to? That's the question after the news, which is next on WTMJ.
Breaking down the biggest stories, talking about what really matters, and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
Really fun first hour, a serious topic. You know, crime in schools, what to do. Republican Assembly leaders say, you know what? We're gonna push a little bit on this. We want our kids to be safe, and I can't disagree with them. We're going to get back to crime a little bit later in this hour as we talk with, they've been here before, Sheriff Marty Schultheis from the County of Washington and Washington County Executive Josh Shulman is going to join me about their thoughts about crime in their community, their county, and another go at a anti-crime plan. So I don't know if that's the theme of the show today, but certainly one that we're going to talk about. All right. A couple things. One, yeah, we're on Aaron Rodgers watch. No, I'm not going to talk about this hour. If there's news, I'll tell you about it. I did a little bit at the beginning. I'm kind of at the phase of this story where it's like, if I have something to tell you, we'll certainly get right on it. As you know, loyal listeners of WTMJ, we always do with the big stories. So I wanted to talk, this will drive some people crazy, about Donald Trump for a second. So I shared this last week in a kind of a quick hit. Polling suggests, and this is, I'm reading right from the headline, a quarter of GOP said they'd back Trump as independent in 2024, threatening a split vote. If you pay attention to the polling that's done right now, obviously very early in the race for the nomination for Republicans as presidents, Trump has done well in some polls. Obviously the governor Florida, Ron DeSantis, has done better than him in some other polling. Nikki Haley, around 12 to 15%, until something would happen with either or both of those other principal candidates. I'm not sure it's Nikki Haley's time, but crazy things happen in politics. But what I really want to talk about is, I talk to a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans. I brand myself that way. You can disagree. You can agree. It doesn't really matter. I know how I vote. I don't care how you vote. It's one of the differences in this show compared to other shows. But the question of Donald Trump is an interesting one. I would describe Donald Trump as an individual, and I'm interested to hear what you have to say, 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talking text line. Who cares less about the Republican Party and more about actually winning the next presidential election? I think that's a fair assessment. Lots of people, lots of political experts, pundits, and the like, think if things don't go his way, he'd sooner blow up the party or run as an independent candidate. And there, I was watching Michael Smirkanish on CNN over the weekend. It has a great show, 8 o'clock Central Time, where they were looking at the realities for an independent candidate. And there's so many different state-by-state regulations and rules about getting into a race as an independent that there's some belief that if he decided to do that, if he went that route, if things didn't go his way in the chase for the Republican nomination for president, if he did that, there's a ton of states where he couldn't even get on the ballot. So that's the other actual real-life challenge for Donald Trump. Now, if you're new to the show, I'll give you my 30 seconds take on Donald Trump. I understand the popularity of him. I understand why he won in 2016. One, Hillary Clinton was running against him. Two, his drain-the-swamp messaging captured a lot of attention. I've railed on the federal government. Horrible, horrifically bad at just managing our money. Great at spending our money, horrible at managing it. That messaging worked for Donald Trump, but many of his pronouncements, many of his actions, in my mind, are presidential. They fall short. I think there's a level of decorum I expect from a president. He doesn't cut the... He doesn't make the requirement for me. Adam from Waukesha joins the show. Hey, Adam, welcome to the show. Good morning.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good.
If Trump does anything related to any part of the political process, the Democrats are going to win in 2024. I voted for him twice. I still think he was one of the best presidents we ever had. But his time has passed, and people hate him. They will vote for the dog catcher instead of Trump. And that's just the way it is. I think he's the reason Republicans lost the midterms.
Let me ask you about that, because I hear you. I know there's a lot of people that are sick of him, but I hear from a lot of texters and callers who still would vote for him again. And you and I both know that's not a winning formula for Republicans to win that race or a lot of other races, because there's going to be a negative impact to Republicans.
Correct.
In all of that.
And you need it, and you need the majority. I mean,
yes.
If he splits the party, that's might as well not even, he can't be anywhere near politics. He should go to one of his resorts, wherever he happens to have a resort, and just stay there till 2025.
Let me ask you,
if he says anything.
Let me ask you this. Do you think right now, just with limited information we know that he's out there doing his rallies and he's been talking certainly to some of the big networks. Do you think today he is the likely nominee for Republicans? Just what you know today.
No. I can't validate that, but I just don't think he is. My wife was a lifelong Democrat. She voted for Obama. She hated him after the election. She voted for Trump the last time around. She said she'll vote for him again now. And we argue about that all the time. I said to her, he's going to destroy the party. And she disagrees, and we're still married.
There you go. Well, that means you have a strong marriage. Thanks for the call, Adam. How about that? You can't find, I wouldn't think you could find a lot of voters that voted for Obama and Donald Trump. But that's the thing that I've been trying to tell people for a long time. The notion that all of us fit in these tidy little boxes is silly. The reality is there's a lot of swing voters, especially in this state. We have close elections. Big chunks of voters move from one part to the other, often swayed by an individual, Donald Trump or Barack Obama on the other side or whoever. And I think that's something that's missing. And I guess my message to Republicans would be this. Look, and I asked the caller that question. Because at this moment, I actually do think he's going to be the nominee. Now, a heck of a lot can happen between now and when it really starts to ramp up. A lot can happen. But when you see somebody who's had the stains on his record, the inability to cope with an election loss, to create this hierarchy of nonsense associated with the last election. We had elected officials in Wisconsin selling their soul for this guy, losing all credibility. From San Filippo to Branson to Ramthun and a lot of other people. For one guy. The message has to be this for Republicans. If the act has not gotten together at some point here, Republicans will continue to lose elections. They squeaked out a Ron Johnson victory in the last Senate race. Losing most everything else in the state of Wisconsin. And if we go down the Trump path, I think there's no question the result's going to be exactly what the caller said. Democrats win. End of race. And whether you want that to happen, I guess I'm not really sure. And that's kind of where I go next. 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line. Do you want the Republican Party to be blown up? This sort of crazy wing fueled by radio squawkers and network commentators who aren't journalists, by the way, who openly lie on TV every night. Do you want that to be a part of the party? Or do you want, like, the reasonable, rational adults in the room who generally vote Republican for good reasons, generally small governments, lower taxes, less crime, better schools? Because to me, that's still the meat and potatoes of the Republican Party. I choose the latter. I'm tired of the crazy. How about you? Quarter of the GOP says they back Trump as an independent in 2024. Split the vote, they don't care. All Trump, all the time. So my question is, which I think is a fair question, do you want them to? Do you want the separate, I call it crazy wing, you can call it what you want, call it Make America Great Again, whatever you want, the Let's Go Brandon wing of the party, whatever you want to call it, I don't care. Is that what you think would happen? Is that a good thing? 855-616-1620. I got a lot of great texts on this. 773, thanks for the long distance. Listen, anybody but Trump. Now there's anyone but Trump. Now there's a winning formula for America. I don't think it's going to be a winning formula. 847, I voted for him twice and loved him, but he carries too much baggage now to hold office. It wouldn't matter either way, though. Government won't work any better or worse. The only time government operates efficiently is when there's an opportunity to tax us more. See, I don't want to give in to that. I think we can find solutions. One, you're not going to find a solution that makes everybody happy. But we can find solutions that actually can make government more efficient if we want to. But the way not to do that is to allow extremism to take roots on the Democratic side and the Republican side. And that's what we've allowed by doing that. So I want to try a little harder on this. I got some local leaders coming up at 10:35 that are trying to do the right thing when it comes to crime. Why they're part of the show today, because I'm focused on that issue today, because I think a lot of us are like, why the heck do we have to talk about these things every day? I don't want to have to do a bullet point list spreadsheet of crimes committed in Milwaukee every day. I don't want to do that. I'd rather see things resolved, actually people suggesting things, legislative leadership, to get things done. Mike from Heartland, how can he run for president when he was caught talking to the governor of Georgia saying he needed 11,000 votes? That's a great question, Mike. How is that not already an indictment? That's the thing. I don't. Whatever you think about all the things that they've accused Trump of doing, some probably went too far, some probably didn't go far enough. When you call the governor of a state after an election and says, find me 11,000 votes, paraphrasing. How is that not a crime? How is there not already an indictment? And the longer they let this drag out, I understand they have to do their homework. I understand they have to have their I's dotted, T's crossed. I get all that. But it's inexcusable that we're letting this come closer and closer to the actual election process. Because once that happens, then everything's tainted. Do it, if you're going to do it, and do it now. From the 414, I'm independent, and it scares me where the Republican Party has been going. They are getting a bunch of screwballs in. I've said this over and over again to my Republican friends, conservative friends. Speak up about this nonsense. It's not normal behavior. For some reason, even though I criticize them on occasion, because I want higher standards, I'm still copied on everything that goes around amongst all the Republicans and conservatives in the state. I don't even know if they realize I'm on their email list. And the nonsense that passes for a simple communication is mind-blowing. So I should read one of these sometime. Just the nonsense that comes out of people's mouths, or in this case, through their email. Are you living in the real world? Do you understand that the current president, the election certified, it's over? I get that you want to, your words, fix election, the process, the administration. That's all well and good. That's your job. But I'm not gonna sit here and put up with somebody trying to take over the election process so the entire thing is tainted so that we have fake government, fake leaders jammed into office that didn't win elections. Not going to happen. A couple more before the break. I'm an independent as well. Trump will never get my votes. 760, once Trump gets indicted for either January 6th or the Georgia election, he will never get the financial backing to run. He's already suffering in that regard. The thing that Trump has, the reason why Trump has power is because he gets the small donations, at least at this point. Mom and pop folks, small business owners, the conspiracy diehards, the ivermectin cheerleading crowd, those folks. He still has them, still gets donations. Could be $20, could be $5,000. He's still getting those. What he won't get, probably, I think it's a safe guess, is the million-dollar contributions, multi-million-dollar contributions. And looking at his financial situation, it doesn't sound like self-funding is going to be something that he's going to be able to take advantage of. A few more quickly. The correct answer is absolutely not. He's an embarrassment. Mitch says, the GOP can survive a failed Trump campaign. It'll be the final epiphany. But imagine, if you will, that Trump wins the nomination and defeats the immensely ineffective Biden. That could permanently destroy the GOP for a generation of federal elections, which would streamline the awful progressive agenda. Yeah, it's as I often remind people, it's not about this election. It's about all the elections going forward. You want to damage the Republican Party, a party that I have a lot of faith in, or at least I did, a lot of appreciation for small governments, lower taxes, more efficiency, something, by the way, that local leaders do really well. And you'll hear from a couple after the break. If the question is this, do you want Trump to blow up the Republican Party? And if you say yes to that, good luck trying to win an election in the next 20 or 30 years. Won't happen. Quick break. Welcome back to the show on this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us. I know you have a lot of radio choices. Appreciate you tuning in wherever you find us, over the air or on the stream. It's all good. You can find all of our shows, our podcasts, individual interviews, including the one I'm about to do, available at WTMJ.com or wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, all inclusive for all of that stuff. Great guests. They've been here before, and I always like talking to these gentlemen. From Washington County, I said Waukesha last time. They gave me this look like, does he know? Is he with it? Is he all there?
Happens all the time.
From Washington County, County Executive Josh Shulman and Sheriff of Washington County, Marty Schulteis. Welcome, gentlemen.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So I didn't think, I'm glad that you're here. It's always great to have you in studio. So I spent an hour talking about crime in schools, but we're going to shift and talk about communities. Sheriff, you're responsible for maintaining public safety in Washington County. and county executive, you're responsible for kind of the leadership of that county, making sure things are moving in the right directions. We talked a few months ago about your original plan. It was about $3+ million, anti-crime plan. Pretty extensive. That was defeated at by the voters in Washington County. So you've kind of rethought and rethunked the situation. I'm a big fan of local leadership. I was a local leader. And I like the way you've taken that message and done something with it. So I'm going to have you, county executive, kind of talk about what this means. It's a little over $1 million. It's called the Anti-Crime Plan B. What is it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we referred to our referendum process as the Anti-Crime Plan. And as you mentioned, it was over $3 million, about $3.6 million, 30 positions in the sheriff's office across the whole spectrum of everything the sheriff does. You know, and as you said, as county executive, my job is to make sure that departments across the county, including the sheriff's office, have the resources they need. So this was a resource issue. And everybody knows Washington County is a very conservative county. And this is really about the priority of safe and secure community versus low taxes and small government. And you can't have both when you're trying to add positions. You know, just adding people costs money. The community came out pretty loud and clear, 55-45. We don't want to spend that much money. And we pretty consistently heard it's too much too fast. And so we came back really within days of the no vote and sat down with the sheriff and myself and eventually my cabinet. And soon enough, it was all the department heads saying, what do you need, sheriff, exactly? Give us the baseline, like must live, can't live without right now, especially now that we've gone out on the road and told everyone, here's all the issues we've got very publicly. And so the sheriff came up with a couple scenarios. The cabinet worked together, got it down to about a third of the cost of the original referendum. And we feel like it's a good down payment, and yet we've got a long ways to go.
So, Sheriff, kind of run through some of the things that are in this slightly smaller version.
Sure. So it really was about, as the county executive said, about reprioritizing priorities and focusing on our most pressing needs. What we pared it down to was we thought it was the mental health component of the referendum was so very important. So part of the plan B is to still have those crisis intervention teams available to the entire Washington County residents. And that's pairing up a clinical social worker with a deputy, three teams of those that service the county 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's probably the biggest part of the crime plan that remained the most intact. Because oftentimes law enforcement is the first to have contact with individuals in those situations and oftentimes are in the best position to start that crisis intervention process.
Let me ask you about that because it's something that gets – the words get tossed around a lot, mental health and what that means. When you're talking about public safety, since you – how long have you been in the business?
A little over 30 years.
Okay, so since you started, how has that reality changed when you're talking about the mental health, people you deal with, even challenges among your own staff?
Yeah, absolutely. It seems to be a trend that keeps increasing, and you see that throughout every socioeconomic group. You see it throughout the criminal justice system, not just in law enforcement, but in the jail, in the criminal justice system. So I think individual agencies and organizations are taking a different approach trying to address that more pressing need.
And County Executive, how did you fund this? I know the answer because I read Your staff did a great job of preparing me for the interview. But I think for the listeners and for the folks in Washington County, it's interesting the challenges of local budgets and how you're able to craft this and make this a reality.
Coming from someone who's lived it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it is really difficult. And the sheriff pointed out this was, you know, about setting priorities for what he needed. But more than that, it was about setting priorities within the county government. We only have so much money. Anybody who's been in or affiliated with local government knows those tax levy caps are pretty tight. I took the referendum as the voters saying, I'm taxed enough already. I don't want that much new tax. Figure out how to live within your means and do it by yourself. And that's what we did. And, you know, we really thought, as the sheriff said, that mental health thing was really important. It was too important to not reprioritize. So we took... I think 11 positions throughout the remainder of the departments in the county, eliminated those, shifted the funding over to the sheriff's office and funded these programs. And then to enhance it one step farther, we took some of our ARPA money and just within the last couple of days, we started announcing about $2 million in grants for local nonprofits for substance use and mental health programming that will complement these crisis response units. So we're trying everything we can to, as Governor Evers says, connect the dots, but at the same time do it in a way that's very fiscally conservative and responsive to the conservative values of Washington County.
You had a great quote, five words, in one of the pieces that your staff sent me. To do less with less. I want to have both of you guys explain that, because I used to say, we're going to do more with less, right? We have less resources, less people. We're going to do more because I want to go. It's go time. So explain that five-word sentence or phrase.
Yeah, yeah. So do you heard the sheriff mention priorities. You've heard me mention priorities. When I say do less with less, I mean we have such a finite amount of resources. Government, I believe, in the last 30 years has just gotten into too many different things, and therefore we've gotten poorer at many of them. Instead, our do less with less is shrink the size of government, but the things you are left doing, do them very, very well. And that's why I felt so strongly that we had to shift these resources to the sheriff's department. It's our number one priority in Washington County, a safe and secure community. And with everything that's happening nationwide between the criminal justice system and the mental health system, it was a no-brainer. The question becomes, what else is not a priority? I mean, it implies that something else isn't going to get funded. And in this case, it did. And we've been doing that the last 9 years. This is just the most recent example.
And for sheriff, the reality is things are more difficult for public safety.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're all, every agency is short-staffed, and the caseload increases, and cases are much more complex than they were when I first started 30 years ago. So there's a whole host of different challenges.
Walk through some of the newer challenges. We know fentanyl, you were relating a story. Tell the story about something that happened recently in Washington County.
Sure, yeah. And these stories are not unique to Washington County, nor the Wisconsin. It's really a national problem, is the fentanyl overdoses that we're experiencing. We just had one tragic incident over this weekend where a husband and wife both overdosed unintentionally but simultaneously, and the lasting impacts of that for the children are long lasting.
Do you think the public, I've talked about it on the show, I know other shows talk about it as well, do you think the public really understands the scope of this problem? Because it's significant.
Yeah, I don't think they do, and normally we did a formal press release on that overdose, particularly just because of the two fatalities, and maybe law enforcement needs to do a better job of that. But we're trying to be sensitive to it's a very, very complex family issues that goes on that we don't talk about the specifics of it very often. But maybe we need to do more of that.
My studio guest on this Wednesday, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman, Sheriff Marty Schultheis, talking about specifically anti-crime plan B, which is, I think, a rather innovative way to meet the challenges of modern leadership in a tough budget climate in Wisconsin and probably everywhere in the country, and law enforcement, public safety. We'll continue the conversation after this on WTMJ. Talk about crime as a sort of a theme of the show today. We started talking about schools, and we're going to get to that with one of our guests, Sheriff Marty Schultheis from Washington County. We're also joined by Washington County Executive Josh Shulman. So let's start with that. I mean, I spent an hour talking about violence in schools, disruptive behavior, sometimes threats to teachers and staff. One of the proposals, Wisconsin Assembly, is to require SROs. And I know that's not your gig and that you're not in charge of that, but you certainly have an involvement in schools. In your tenure, have you seen, because I want to get the real answer, have you seen a rise in these kinds of situations in school environments, and I probably know the answer to this, and are you responding to these calls?
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned in the previous segment, investigations get more complex, and every kid has a cell phone on him, and the amount of time that law enforcement deals with crimes involving cell phones is dramatically increasing and exponentially in schools.
That whole cell phone thing, and I'm going to ask you a basic question. I don't think kids, I understand that parents are going to give their kids smartphones. I don't think they should be in the classroom. Do you agree or disagree?
I have a high school age child.
Well, then you know.
And I would appreciate that rule of law.
Why does it seem, I don't know if it's a freedom thing, why does that question seem so difficult for school districts to ask?
I second that emotion, and I don't understand either. If I'm the principal or superintendent, there's no way those phones are in classrooms. Now, that's easy for me to say, but I don't get it either.
I know society loves technology, and we like them, and I've had teachers call the show and say, yeah, it's in some cases is an aid to learning. I get all that. But at the same time, that preoccupation with all the other things happening on the internet while you're supposed to be focused on the learning part of it seems to be challenging. As far as incidents, you talked about that. Staffing with this anti-crime plan B, are you going to be what you feel comfortable with as far as the people you need to do the job as sheriff?
The initial request that the staff came up with was 30 positions. This is 11 positions, but we're trying to address the most critical issues. So the plan includes two additional patrol officers, and in conjunction with the two additional officers and reassigning some things, we're able to increase our minimum staffing on two of the three shifts, which is extremely important. And then on the jail side of things, we're adding three correctional officers, because there's a certain segments of the jail that are very high need and only have one person monitoring a large section of the jail, where we really want to increase that to two. So we're getting to the point where we're really addressing the bare minimum needs right now.
I always want to ask public safety folks, in whatever capacity they do those jobs, how's their mental health? How are they feeling about things? We certainly talk about some of the big stories that happen. How are they feeling about their resources, their staffing, and the reception they get when they do their job?
Yeah, it's funny you mention that, because I'm from the old school and maybe didn't have that mindset, but I'm quickly learning that you need to take care of your own. So we've instilled a new chaplain program. We have a peer support program that's just getting off the ground. We actually have a training coming up next month where we're inviting spouses in for mental health training, so the spouses can see some recognition of some of the problems. So, yeah, it's an area that I think law enforcement is getting much better at recognizing.
I love the forward thinking on that, and a lot of police chiefs that I've talked to, as well as sheriffs and deputies, say that's kind of the direction things are going, and I think that's a good thing. All right, I got to ask you the shared revenue question, County Executive Josh Shulman. Lots of good discussions. It seems like there's sort of it's a plan A, because we haven't really addressed it in since Act 10 was implemented, and I'm a fan of Act 10, but I understood at the time, over time, there's a lot of unsustainable elements of that, not just the stuff that people talk about with unions, but the actual staffing of really important roles. As a county executive leading a pretty busy county, are you confident this is going to be moving in the right direction, fixing some of these budget woes that you like a lot of other county executives are facing?
I'm hopeful. The system is broken. The financial system for local governments is broken. It's been broken for 15, 20 years. We've known it for a long time. I think the legislature in particular, I have told them many times, Act 10 was great almost 15 years ago. You need another tool like that that sustains us for the next 10 years. So I think there's consensus around that. What I'm not so sure there's consensus on is what is the solution. Now, I think local governments, counties could do a much better job for themselves by sharing services. We have an awful lot of government and an awful lot of duplication in this state. We have four dispatch centers in Washington County alone. There really doesn't need to be more than one.
I remember fighting that battle, and shared services is always a touchy subject. Everybody loves their own people, and they love their own buildings and their own equipment. Are we moving in the right direction on that one?
I think what's going to be the rub. I think the legislature is going to want to see some tangible reforms in this area before they're willing to just fork over a bunch of more money. And what I'm hearing from some is that they just expect that the state's going to shovel more money to them, or in our case, the county's going to shovel more money to them. It's just not going to happen. So I think we've got to, just like with Act 10, there's going to have to be a give and a take, a little bit of reform and a little bit of revenue. But, you know, government's got the same problem as every private sector industry, that inflation for us is the same as for anybody else, Rockwell, Northwestern Mutual, doesn't matter. We're facing the same stuff. So
the cost of running a city, county, community never go down.
That's right. That's right. I mean, corrections officers is a fantastic example. We're going through this right now. Like, it's a really hard job. People don't want to do it. It doesn't jump off the page as, oh, I've always wanted to be a corrections officer. We're going to have to pay them a few more bucks to get them.
Hey, real quick, we got a texter question that asks, the changes you're talking about in Plan B, are those already being implemented, or is that on the horizon?
The funding has been granted, so we are in the process of doing the recruiting for all of the positions.
And how many positions?
It's a total of 11.
All right. And somebody else asked real quickly, how do you measure the success slash failure of eliminating some positions and adding in other places? How is that measured, county executive?
So I think this really comes down to how do we measure the success of the anti-crime plan proposals and exactly what the sheriff's executing. We know we already have a whole system of how we prioritize every program. The positions that were eliminated, we knew because we've set priorities and we put metrics to them, they are just a lower priority. It's not that they're not a priority. It's just they're a lower priority than the positions in the sheriff's office and the human services area. So we feel confident in that. Now it's, does this funding work for these programs?
I said it at the beginning, I'll say it again. There are a lot of great examples of local leadership. Two of them are right in the studio right now. From Washington County Executive
Breaking down
Josh
the
Shulman,
biggest
Sheriff
stories, talking about what really matters,
Thanks,
and bringing you the biggest forum to let your voice be heard. Now, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, here's Steve Scafidi.
And good morning, everybody. 11 o'clock on this, 11:08 to be exact, on WTMJ, broadcasting live from the Avenue Studios in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Hope it's nice where you are. We have launched the Ask Steve Anything phase of our Wednesday program. Any question, fair game. Stock market currently minus 640. That's not a good thing. Officially on Aaron Rodgers' watch. Sources tell me some big things are going to happen about 12:10 today. And if they do happen, it should finally answer the big question, is he being traded? And we should hear it from Aaron Rodgers' mouth at about 12:10. So that's what people are saying that actually in the know. And the other thing that somebody just told me is he's going to go after the, I think it's Diane Russini from ESPN who put out the wish list story. Apparently Rodgers not happy about that at all. And he's going to mention her by name and attack her. So look forward to that if you're a fan of the Pat McAfee Show or a fan of the Green Bay Packers. All right, enough of that. The concept is simple. You ask the questions, I do my best to answer them. I don't have every answer to every question. Somebody stumped me on shoelaces once. I had no idea what they were talking about. Somebody asked me a lighting question. No idea. I'm not an electrician. But I do my best. And if doing a radio show for now 6 years teaches you anything, you have a little knowledge about a lot of things. All right. Right off the bat, I love this. Steve, did you cut the cord on cable? I did. I had Uverse. Fans of the show know that over the last three tortured years, my war on internet and phone service providers, I have not been happy. Ever-increasing bill for ever-decreasing standard of service. And at some point, I convinced my wife, Kathy, and with help from my daughters, Katie and Chrissy, who had cut the cord previously. I went to YouTube TV with a bunch of streaming services, much cheaper. I see no significant reduction in service. And if anything, service is way better and the Wi-Fi is faster. So for me, that's all I need. Much cheaper. You have me at much cheaper. For example, a monthly bill for the TV part going from about $152 to just north of $50. So figure that out on your own. But I can tell you, the big concern was always about local channels. They're provided on YouTube TV. So that's not an advertisement for YouTube TV. That's just the reality of life now. Oh, I'm always looking to lessen my bottom line. And in this case, I lessened it by about $100 a month on that for that bill. And if my math serves me right, that's $1,200 a year. So that's a quick answer. But yes, I'm a big fan of YouTube TV so far. Been great. Wi-Fi is faster. I have my Wi-Fi through T-Mobile. Big fan as well. Much quicker. Much seems very reliable. All right. Mitch, have you caught any of the WBC? What's the deal with the rosters? It seems if anything goes, like if you own a corgi, you can play for Team Great Britain. I have no idea. no idea to that question. Why do you ask, Mitch? Why do you ask that question? Curious. Give me some feedback. I'll see what I think about it after that. Ask you anything. All right. If conservative leaders like the ones you had just had on your show are so bothered by the increases in crime throughout our nation and all of our communities, why are they always so hell-bent on cutting their budgets or not adding to their budgets for law enforcement and jails and prisons, which I believe is needed to control our crime problems? They didn't say that. Their self-interest is to have the best possible solutions to problems, whether that's on the local leadership side in the county or whether that's on law enforcement, in the case this case, the sheriff's department. The resources that make the most sense. They asked, by the way, in a referendum that didn't pass, and you heard the county executive say it lost, I think, 55-45, for a little north of $3 million. That didn't pass. So what they had to do is craft a plan, anti-crime plan B, which basically implemented some staffing changes and some other things that they laid out for you, while cutting areas where they felt they could absorb those cuts. That's the reality for local leadership now. Whether it's public safety or just general communities trying to get things done with a ever-challenging budget, you have to make tough decisions. And the public, by the way, who loves low taxes, but they also like all their stuff, they're going to have to face that reality at some point and deal with it. Let's see. Let's go to phone lines. Gianni calling from Montello. Hey, Gianni. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, Steve. And a sunny morning to you and all of your listeners.
Nice.
Hey, Vladimir Zelensky. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know your opinion of him and his address to Congress a couple of months ago. And should we be financing partly financing the war in the Ukraine? I happen to believe we should, but I think Putin is a very dangerous man, but I'm calling to ask you your opinion.
I appreciate it, Johnny, and I'll let you hang up and listen to the answer. So I agree with you. I think it's money well spent. Now, there are certainly limits to this, but at this point, I think our government and our country has a choice to make. Do you want to see Vladimir Putin become more of a leader in Europe? Or less? I like the less version. I don't think he's a moral person. I think he's a dangerous person. I think there's nothing that he wouldn't do to acquire territory. I think his goal at some point in this weird, twisted way is to reassemble the Soviet Union in some fashion or another, probably not the old Soviet Union, but one that gives you the benefits of that, some of that, port access, property, territory, resources. So if you look at the Republican Party right now, and the amazing thing about politics and this story is Democrats are almost more hawkish than some Republicans. Because Donald Trump, and last time I checked, Governor Ron DeSantis, they're really not sure we should be in this war. I'm all in. I want to protect democracy. I want to protect the people of Ukraine. There are certainly limits. We can only spend what we can afford. That's always the case, no matter what expenditure you're talking about. But I'm on the side of Nikki Haley, President Joe Biden, any other national leader who says this is a worthy fight. And you could call this a proxy war, or have some what I would call a unreasonable vision that somehow this is just going to get worked out peacefully. I live in the real world, folks. They are sending missiles, they being Russia, into cities in Ukraine, willy-nilly, not caring what they hit, not caring who they kill, women, children, elderly. That's a fight worth having. Now, there's risk to this. Understood. Somebody makes a wrong choice, something bad happens that is outside of what typical warfare looks like, innocents killed in Russia or in another country that borders Russia or Ukraine, we may have a bigger conversation. But at this moment, I support the efforts. And I hope I answered Johnny's question. We'll take a break. Ask Steve anything, 855-616-1620. I see Chuck's from the South Side has a question. Lots of questions on the old National Bank talk and text line. We'll fire those up after this on WTMJ. Ask Steve anything is the game. Questions are fair game. Any question, any subject. See what Chuck from the South Side has on his mind. Welcome to the show, Chuck. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I got a good one for you. If an ex-president has come to your city or township and has not paid the protection for the police force, then he comes back maybe a couple years back from then and wants the protection, do they have to protect him? Or tell him, no, we're not protecting you?
That's a fair question because that's actually the reality. I'll let you hang up and listen to the answer, Chuck, from the South Side. That's happened. Leaders come, they don't pay. Now, there's two parts of this. One is local law enforcement is always going to protect dignitaries, especially ex-presidents. But any smart leader, whether it's law enforcement side or the community side, are also going to make those individuals and their surrounding staff and representatives very aware that there's a bill outstanding on the front side of that visit. And to be brutally honest, I'm not involved. I never was involved in those kinds of decisions as a local leader because that's something law enforcement generally handles. They certainly make you aware of some of that stuff. And I have met presidents, vice presidents, first ladies in and around Oak Creek in my time as a local leader. So I kind of know how it works. And I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of layers. But, you know, to the political side of this, I'm not surprised because that ex-president you're referring to, it's not just him, it's others. They leave often bills unpaid, expecting, I don't know, taxpayers to pay that bill because that's what happens. So if you want to be a fan of people that do that, keep in mind the people that pay those bills are you. All right, from the old National Bank talk and text line and Ask Steve Anything, John and Bayview, I know you're a Republican, Steve. I'd like to know why, and in your view, how has the Republican Party changed since the Goldwater and Reagan eras to the present-day Republican Party for the better? Question mark. No! Those earlier names you mentioned would be rolling in their graves seeing this stuff, this nonsensical view of how politics should work. Traditionally, conservatives are small government, lower taxes, efficiencies, strong military, and military with a backbone. For the former President Donald Trump and for current Florida Governor Ron DeSantis to say they're not sure that they would be as committed to Ukraine, both the individuals, well, at least Ronald Reagan, would have said, are you crazy? Reagan probably would have fighter jets up. So, no, I'm not a fan of this. And judging by the people that I talk to in and away from the show, more and more Republicans are saying, enough with the nonsense, folks. You can wear your Let's Go Brandon t-shirt and fly your Trump flag all you want. You look like an idiot. And if you want to win elections, that's not the roadmap to success. And I'm encouraged by what I'm hearing. A little late, let's be honest. From some traditional conservatives and Republicans who are finally saying, you know what? We got to work this out. This is nuts. We got to figure these things out. James joins us from the South Side. Hey, James.
Yeah. Okay. We got a. Here's my question. We're going to spend $400 billion with the student. The bailout for the people that went to college.
Or not, because it's still not. It's not final yet.
And we're spending $150 billion to take care of Ukraine there. And we just had the banks that of California, the Silicon Valley, going to push that on over and everything else. We keep raising rates, but we don't want to go over $30 trillion. How much can we bend to all the spending here before we're going to be broke? I mean, we're letting people over the border and everything else. What's your opinion on all this?
I love the question, James. Here's my answer. We got to start paying attention to this stuff. there's this weird thing. Mostly Democrats do this. They want all this stuff. They want their student loans absolved. They want free health care or some version of that. They want free everything, basically. Free cell phones. Housing assistance. Look, there are a group of people that we should help with all of those things. But it shouldn't be half of the damn population. We have a group of people in this country who make less than other people, but they're not living paycheck to paycheck all the time. They actually spend money on things like smartphones, vacations. I'm not saying you don't deserve a vacation, but somebody was telling me this story yesterday. It was a conversation between 30-somethings. It goes something like this. Two moms talking. And the one mom asked the other mom, we can't save anything. We live paycheck to paycheck. And how do you save? And the other mom says, well, you just set a little bit aside. Each of us goes, oh, my God, we can't do that. We take vacations and we spend summers. It's like, well, maybe you have to rethink those choices. Look, I don't want to dampen anybody's enthusiasm for life, quality of life, but sometimes choices have to be made, especially when you're talking about education. You don't have to go to UCLA. You don't have to go to Stanford. You don't have to go to Berkeley. You don't have to go to Harvard or pick a school. You can go to UWM. I did, and did just fine. Would I have liked to go on to USC? Sure. I would have loved to go on to Pepperdine and lived in Malibu. Sure, why not? But I made smart, educated choices. I paid off my debt myself. I worked full time. And I'm not patting myself on the back, but I worked 12 midnight to 8 a.m., and then went to school after that full time. If I could do it, somebody else can do it. You can want all these things. I get how that works. Who doesn't want free stuff? But if we don't start making better decisions budget-wise, this is why I support some of the House measures to kind of say finally, and this is Paul Ryan did it before any of these current knuckleheads did it, although he's a rhino now, so he can't be trusted, apparently. Live within our means. That includes us as households, as individuals, as state governments, and as a federal government. There are certainly things we need to provide. Defense of the country. National parks. Social Security. We pay it in, we should get it. But at the same time, efficiency matters. And if we don't start paying attention to that and look no farther than the stimulus package and all those checks, billions of dollars of waste because we were in a hurry. You're sending a $1 million check to Tom Brady, something's wrong. Quick break. Yeah. Little Bruce Springsteen for you there. Apparently the boss and his crew are a little sick. They're going to cancel at least 3 shows. Columbus, I think a New Jersey show as well. So hopefully all things are well. I said it last week. I'll say it again. It was one of the greatest concerts of my lifetime. And I've seen everybody, just about everybody. All right, the concept is simple. Ask Steve anything, any questions, fair game. 855-616-1620. Hey, Steve, who would you like to see run for the Republican Party? Personally, I would like to see Paul Ryan or Pence. I've said this before, and I've had former Speaker Paul Ryan on the show and former Congressman on the show a couple times, including about 6 months ago. I'm a huge fan. Worked with him as a local leader, and he was my congressman. Respect him. I think he's one of the smartest politicians I've ever met. Maybe the bar is low, but he certainly is above that bar. And he's somebody, I think, who has that ambition. But I think at this point in his life, and this is me speaking, I'm not going on any insider knowledge, he's got a lot going on with his kids who are older now, and that is certainly something to reconcile as an individual who has a public life and a private life. He's one. I wish Trump wouldn't run. Is that kind of a negative takeaway on your question? I've said before, Nikki Haley, I'm a fan. I think Republicans in general need to understand the power of the woman, that will matter more and more. And she's sort of an avenue to make that happen, ease that glide path for Republicans. Frankly, too many white men. Who else? It's a great question. There's some governors. I like Maryland Governor Larry Hogan, but he said he's not running. Is it Chris Sununu? also a possibility. There's a lot of great choices. I just want to, I wanted someone I can vote for. For me, that's Nikki Haley at this moment, but things can change. Let's see. Tim from Campbellsport.
Hey, Steve. Love your show.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
Listen
it.
Listen every day.
Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. You and Carol are a great couple. I love Mondays.
And I love Mondays as well.
Great. Here's a question for you. How do we continue to shut down oil refineries in the spring to make our gas prices go up?
Yeah.
They're already over the top.
The main reason now is they shift to summer gas. Thanks for the call, Tim. So they're going from what we use, typically use for gas in the winter to a reformulated or a different version of that product in the summer. So they're supposed to be temporary shutdowns or as they transition, but that's part of it. You know, I've said before, President Biden's energy policy, I don't like. I think our goal should always be, and it could be a more expansive vision than just gas, to be self-sufficient. I don't want to rely on Russia or the Middle East. I don't want to rely on any of those countries because when the you-know-what hits the fan, it usually means explosive price increases for us. And, you know, the CPI came out yesterday, and I don't have a chance to pull it up right now, but that energy cost, not only for vehicles, driving, gas, but for home heating oil and propane and all those things, is also going up. And when you have that chunk of your monthly household budget going up on top of food and anything else you spend money on, restaurant prices, new cars, although it was encouraging that the cost of year-to-year cost of pre-owned vehicles came down a bit because that was like 30-some percent higher. Supply was certainly challenged. So there's some good news, but the quick answer on your gas question is at least in this part of the Midwest, it's the reformulated gas question and partly energy policy. And certainly going back a ways now over a year, the war on Ukraine certainly didn't help that. The number 855-616-1620, the old National Bank talk and text line for Ask Steve Anything. Let's see. Why can't the government give the average wage when giving out job numbers? I mean, you could Google all that stuff. The average wage for, I mean, the jobs numbers have been good, generally. So that's kind of the opposition stat when you're talking about inflation, recession. But it's a good question. I'll dig into it and see what we can find out. 920. Good morning, Steve. What do you think Milwaukee's next step should be in regards to making Milwaukee great again? I think we have some good local leaders. Mayor Johnson, Cavalier Johnson, County Executive David Crowley. As you know, I've been pretty critical of the Milwaukee Common Council. I think some of these folks would like to see us go back to like the socialist mayors. You can pretend that that's going to fly. It's not going to fly. Trust me. And it's the constant friction, constant battle between the left and right. Right. I don't want a civil war. I actually prefer compromise versus the yelling that we get now, which is frankly stupid and dumb. So whether it's the left with their let's give everything away or the right with the crazy, you know, anti-vax conspiracy theories about the election, you know, constant barrage of bitterness and hate. Most of us are in the middle. You can be Democrat, you can be a Republican, independent, and have common sense and logic be your guide. That's my wheelhouse. And I think that's most voters' wheelhouse. And I think we're going to find out something. So the midterms were essentially seen as a push against some of the extremism, in that case against the Republican Party. Now, they did take back the House by a slim margin. So they made a slight gain. It was expected to be much larger. The 2024 election is a referendum, especially if it's Donald Trump, it's a referendum on crazy. And not just Donald Trump, but all the people who fall into those camps of the many things I just talked about, elections and vaccines and all that stuff. I see people still trotting out the ivermectin thing. All the trials said doesn't work. Matter of fact, it was just a story yesterday about the obscene risk of taking ivermectin improperly, which, as we know, people don't always do the right thing. Surprise, surprise. Yet we're going to talk about vax injuries from real vaccines, please. You can find a negative point of view on any subject, but when the positive vastly outweighs the negative, focus on the positive. Doesn't mean you ignore the other piece, but you focus, you highlight, you demonstrate in your behavior and your beliefs and why the positive is more important. Make sense? Quick break. Back with more of Ask Steve Anything after this. Every week we do That's What Steve Said. Probably going to shift it to Friday because it's all the breaking news that I think is going to happen tomorrow. But here's the cool thing. Thursday or Friday, the winner of That's What Steve Said gets a $30 gift card at the Mind Chef restaurant. Locally owned, family owned. The most affordable restaurant for over 46 years. I'm actually thinking about going there this weekend. Their pizza? Hello. Some of the best. On Thursdays, when you buy one pizza, you get a second pizza free. They're giving it away out there. Mind Chef, of course, on beautiful Main Street, beautiful downtown Hartford. Join me out there and for one of our lucky winners on That's What Steve Said this week, a $30 gift card to the Mind Chef restaurant. I can't make it any easier than that. You got to listen to the show all 3 hours every day, Monday through Friday. Then think about what I said and then be one of the lucky contestants, always two, answering five questions that could conceivably change your life. Might be an overstatement, maybe not. All right, a few more questions before we get close to handing this off to Jeff Wagner. Steve, is there a job desert in Milwaukee? I live in Washington County. We had the sheriff and county executive on the show this morning. Drive around and manufacturing is hiring everywhere. Is this true in the inner city and people just don't want the jobs, or is there a jobs divide? Yeah, I don't know if the number is the same, because there's a lot of there are some deserts where there are just no businesses. But, and this is a big but, and I like big buts. Oh, great music. That would have been a great musical cue. You missed that one, Producer Brandon. I laid it out there, but you had no warning, so I'll give you a break. Look, if you want a job, this is the best time ever to get a job. There we go. See? He was out for a few days. It's kind of a little slow on the uptick, but we got it. Yes, of course. All right, so there's jobs out there. You got to want to do those jobs. Fast food, whatever it is, manufacturing. Office, retail. If you would have told me you could walk into some of these places and make $15 an hour part-time and a job to supplement your income in many cases, it's pretty good. But you gotta want to be willing to do those jobs. Let's see. Is there a way to get a spreadsheet of where the money is spent? That's a crime prevention unit has spent that and where the money is. I think you're talking about the question for County Executive Showman and the sheriff in Washington County. I'll forward that question on to him. I'm sure most of the information is available on their website, but if it's not, I'll pass the question on. Steve, what do you think? This is from Claude in St. Francis. What do you think about the Mexican president telling Mexicans in our country to vote for Democratic presidents? I've said this before. I'm not a huge fan of Mexico. You know, we talk so much about border policy and crime and drugs. I've always felt they could be a lot more helpful in that situation. It's not just about us. It's a shared border. We don't have complete and utter control of that border, obviously. A little something for the efforts, Mexico. Stop making it an open door, especially for drugs. What was it, 485 fentanyl deaths in Milwaukee County last year? Some crazy number like that? I threw it out there. I don't know if it's true, but I think it's true. I know this. Our smart listeners will correct me if it isn't. All right. Hey, Steve, just a quick question. I pay $50 to the city for my streetlights to stay on, yet they are never on. What should we do? Complain about it. If your city provides you streetlights and you are actually charged $50, I would start with, oh, I don't know, the clerk. Start with there because they're often the gatekeeper for where the questions go. If the clerk's not available, especially at election time, very busy folks. Maybe go to the reception area at your local town hall, city hall, common council meeting. Good chance to meet with your representatives, your mayor, if you have one, village president. Like many things, your level of engagement often dictates the response. And I don't mean like crazy screaming. I mean just asking the question. And I'm not going to out this mayor, but I told the mayor about a conversation I had away from the show. And it had to do with a business trying to get to a city. I knew more about it than the mayor did. Now, granted, I was a mayor before, and maybe people trust me with that information, but You got to get engaged on this stuff. Let's see. A lot of different questions today. What are your thoughts on Russia taking down a U.S. drone and dumping fuel on it? I don't like it, to be honest. Russia's playing a dangerous game. And for all those people who think we shouldn't get involved with Russia, if you don't get involved in whatever way we currently are, and we don't know everything, trust me. Drones are part of the story. Certainly, that's how a lot of wars are fought now, at least a lot of early pieces of wars. To our commitment to the country of Ukraine on equipment to fight the war against Russia. If you step away, if you take the Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis approach, and I said it before, my goodness, some Democrats are more hawkish than Republicans in this case. What are you doing? The position that I take is pretty simple. It's the same one that Nikki Haley takes and a lot of Republican leaders who use their brains. Protecting democracy is important. How we do that is the question. Right now we're supplying money and equipment. We're not to the level of American men and women, members of the military. I'm not advocating for that. But at the end of the day, protecting Europe is important to our world interests and the safety of all of us here. And if you don't think that's the case, you haven't learned from history. We'll take a break. We'll see what Jeff Wagner is going to talk about after this.